Welcome to The Exchange on Siouxland Public Media. I'm Mary Hartnett. Well, today we are at the Sioux City Public Museum for a forum with the six candidates for the Sioux City Council. The election takes place next Tuesday, November 7th. We are holding a series of forums in partnership with the League of Women Voters of Sioux City. Now, we'll ask candidates to introduce themselves, and we'll also have a series of questions for them. After that, the candidates can ask a question to another candidate if they choose, bring up an issue, and then at the end, we'll sort of sum up, they can sum up their reasons for running for office. The incumbent candidates are Dan Moore, Alex Waters, and Pete Gretkin. The challengers are Jake Jungers, Doug Waples, and Dennis Quinn. And I'm going to start off with Jake Jungers. Now, Jake, you've sat on the Fiscal and Public Policy Committee for the city, I believe, and you've done other committees and public service as well. What have you learned there that you think you can apply to the city council?
What I've learned there is how to work together with other people. I would say you're fighting over what to do and what is right, and obviously you have to get that to a vote. So if there's other people in the room, you have to be willing to work with them. I would say sometimes you're not always going to agree with an issue, but I think there's a way to challenge what you think is right, respectively, to everybody.
All right. And Pete Gretkin, you have said that, along with several of the candidates, you'd like to see more family-oriented venues and activities in Sioux City, like the Plywood Trail and Cone Park, which will open, I believe, in a few months. That will be opening. I guess the question is, how can we make sure we keep these venues up and running and vital and taken care of? Because some people have said we have all these things going on. How are we going to make sure these are kept up and kept, you know, vital for people?
Well, Mary, it's a great question, and I do believe that amenities drive quality of life, and quality of life is really what the community is all about. I've mentioned previously the basic question for me is, what kind of community do you want to live in? And for me, it's one that is primarily family oriented, that gives families a lot of opportunities to get involved in the community and have the amenities that attract people and hopefully keep people here. I think the primary platform for quality of life issues is the city council. So my involvement, and again, I'm a lifelong resident of Sioux City, born and raised here. My involvement is really on the premise, the push for me is to get involved and to be able to maybe be that vote that helps provide an amenity we didn't have before and is important to people. And you mentioned Cone Park. Cone Park, it took a few years of studying and decision-making to get to the point where Cone Park will soon become a reality, hopefully by the end of next month, December. And when it does, I think people are going to really enjoy that as an amenity that they can take family to and use the building, you know, 365. So, and there's a lot of other parks that have had some really nice additions made as well.
Right. Yeah, I realize I didn't give you guys a chance to introduce yourselves. I'm going to start with Jake, and you can sort of tell us who you are and why you're running.
My name is Jake Jungers. I'm 28 years old. My mom is from South Sioux. My dad's from Hospers, Iowa. I'm a first-generation Sioux City, and I care about the future of the city that I hope to have a family in. I want to be able to make a difference, and that's why I'm getting involved.
All right, and Pete Gretkin.
Again, my name is Pete Gretkin. I'm a long-time, lifelong resident of Sioux City, born and raised in Sioux City, have been involved in the community and in government throughout my lifetime. Worked for the city for nearly 38 years as a Sioux City police officer and just completing 4 years on the city council. I enjoy the process, the governmental process. I enjoy the people that are involved. I've always had this basic premise that good things happen to good people, so it's nice to be around good people and meet additionally more good people who are willing to get involved in city government. So it's just something that I've always had a passion for and hope to continue.
All right.
Thank you.
Dennis.
I'm Dennis Quinn. I'm an Army veteran. I was a police officer in Colorado for 9 years. I worked for the school district, retired in 2014. I was a transportation specialist, was my job title. I supervised 90 bus drivers and assistants, and I retired in 2014. Since then, I've gone back subbing part-time as a school bus driver because they need the help. They don't have anybody to work. But anyway, I just feel that I can have a positive attitude. I've had some experience working with the public, and I'd like to get on to council.
I'm Dan Moore. I'm finishing up my first term on the city council. I'm asking the voters to please reelect me on November 7th and return me to office. I want to thank Mary and the Siouxland Public Media for sponsoring this event and for having all of us. I think it's important to the voters to hear from all of us. I want to continue to serve the public. I have really enjoyed serving our citizens, being a public servant. I practice law in addition to serving on the council. I look forward to continuing the good work that I've been doing. A very dedicated, hardworking, experienced, and I just want to continue to see us. The momentum's going really well, and I just want to see us continue. Thank you.
All right, Doug.
My name's Doug Waples. I was born and raised in a small town, graduated from Western Iowa Tech in 1970, served in the Army for a couple years, and been a resident of Sioux City 45 years. Semi-retired now, so I have the time to serve. My main thing is looking at getting city projects done a little more efficient and a faster method.
All right, Alex.
All right, my name is Alex Waters. I am a first-year advisor at Morningside College. Finishing up, I think it's been about 8 months since I was appointed to the council, and looking forward to hopefully serving a full term. So I'd really appreciate your vote coming up on November 7th. I am not from Sioux City, and so it's actually I've lived, bounced around the country a little bit, and came back to Sioux City. And what's important for me, or why I chose to run, is because I believe in public service. I believe in giving back. And since moving back to Sioux City, I completed my undergraduate at Morningside. And since returning and starting to work here in the community, I've tried to integrate myself into as many nonprofits, sitting on boards, volunteering in the community, because I think that's really important. And so I just see this as a continuation, a chance to make a bigger impact and a difference in a community that's done a lot for me. So that's why I would ask for your vote.
All right. Thank you. Well, now I'll go back to Dennis. Dennis, part of the reason you wanted to be on the council, you said, is because of all the young people that are leaving, and you'd like to see your children and grandchildren stay here. Why do you think it's so hard? And what could we do to sort of make Sioux City a more pleasant and inviting place for young people?
Well, I think it's inviting enough as far as living here, but as far as working here, there's just no jobs for these young kids. My kids graduated from the University of Iowa, and they both live in Chicago because that's, for their field, that's the only place they could find work. They couldn't find it in here in Sioux City to do that profession. But my youngest son still lives here. He owns a couple of small businesses. He's still in town. What do you do to bring them in? I don't know how you bring in the big businesses, the white-collar jobs. Well, the white-collar jobs, we can go over to North Sioux and bring them back, I guess. It's where a lot of them seem to be winding up, moving out of here, probably because of the tax base, I'm sure. But I don't know how we get those businesses in town, but I'd love to work on it.
Well, Dan Moore, I was going to ask you something similar about, you've talked about trying to increase the labor pool, the pool of employees in the city. What do you think it would take to get more people? There are so many jobs open around town, and granted, they're not all super high-paying jobs, but they're certainly looking for employees all over.
Yes, that is true, and I think on not only on a city level, but a state level and nationally, we need to do a better job of marketing what we have to offer in Sioux City. It's a great place to raise a family. It's a great place to work and to enjoy the quality of life enhancements that we have. I think if we market, it's a very competitive market that we're in for the labor pool. And I think if we continue to market and just excel in that, I think we'll see good results. It's something that just, it takes time and it takes an investment. And I think we're all willing to make that investment
and we just have to be patient. But I think we will see good results.
Okay. Doug Waples, you've talked a lot about the need for the city to sort of deal with the infrastructure issues, fixing streets. What do you think could be done to deal with the infrastructure issues, fixing the streets, sewers, et cetera, more efficiently?
You know, without a lot of research, I guess I probably can't answer that because I've been told a lot in the last year that I'm not an engineer, so I'm starting to believe that. But it just appears that a lot of the jobs that get started around town, there don't seem to be a full crew working every day on it. And it seems like things in the neighborhoods would get done a lot faster if we could maybe stretch the deal out to 12-hour days or something and work Saturdays. And a lot of the construction stuff anymore is limited to, with the weather we have, to, you know, like an April to the end of October deal. And I think we got to make sure we're making use of all the good days that they can work. And the other issue, of course, is the money. I mean, you're going to have to cut back on something if you're going to spend more money on streets.
And, right.
You know, something's got to give.
Right. Alex Waters, you advise first-year students at Morningside College, correct?
I do.
I imagine you learn a lot about what motivates people by working with these students. What is it? You've been on the council now for, 8 months?
Mm-hmm.
You're appointed. What have you learned in that time about being on the council and getting things done? How to motivate people?
Well, I would say a couple of things. Number one, collaboration, right? We have to work with our partners that we have, people that are not only city employees, but also the nonprofits or the different industries. I think that that's important, that collaboration and that cross-communication, just making sure that we're all on the same page, because sometimes if you're working on workforce or interns or even infrastructure projects like that, we need to be working collaboratively to make sure that we're all on the same page of what that vision is and how it's going to happen. I think that that's really key. The second thing that I've learned is that things take time. And that sometimes for me, it can be frustrating, right? I mean, depending on what project you're working on or how you want to roll it out or how you want to change things, I think things take time. And especially seeing the benefit takes time. I think that we make decisions right now that we really think are going to be beneficial for the community. And maybe you don't see a return on that investment immediately. It takes a little bit of time to gain some momentum and some traction. But you just have to trust that your long-term vision of what you're doing is the right choice for your community. That's something that I've been really focusing on as a young professional, hoping to live here for quite some time. I really want to be thinking long-term. How can we set that up? And sometimes not seeing that immediate result can be frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Jake Jungers, I know you've said before, you don't want to be another yes vote on the council. Do you think this is sort of an organizational issue of, you know, people trying to get things done and wanting to move things forward, or maybe just, you know, the fear of saying no?
I think everybody wants to get things done. I think everybody up here wants to work together with everybody. The difference is, I think, expressing your individual opinion. Now, obviously, you have people that you represent, and if the people tell you that they want you to vote a certain way and you believe them, then you can vote that way. But you're also here to lead them. So it's a catch-22 on that. But, I mean, some of the decisions that are 4-1 or 5-0, I just think you could voice your opinion. If you know it's going to be a 3-2 decision, I think that'd be okay.
Okay. Pete Greckin, I know in some of the issues I've seen in the last year, like that Monarch Habitat, the city council worked with the county on that. Do you think there are other areas and other projects that the city and county could work together to do things, to do more things, maybe to do things and share the cost? Or is that a difficult thing to do sort of procedurally?
Well, I don't think procedurally speaking that it's a difficult challenge. I think it's finding mutual interests that allow the city and the county to move forward. I think initially it probably makes great sense to identify the areas, and they're doing this. I think the finance director is already involved in monthly meetings with the county to identify areas that we both have in common. It might be the purchase of supplies, might be issues involving law enforcement or public safety in general, and then to move forward where we can, if you can, if you're both using the same types of equipment and supplies, I think you can probably have a definite impact on dollars and savings. And I think those are the kinds of things. When you get into methods and policies and procedures, I think we're all pretty well ingrained in what we do. Can we learn from it? I think we certainly can, and there's always room to come together and to openly discuss. I think that's what councils do very well, and hopefully we can identify areas. But I think we all have our own ideas of what works best, and it may be a challenge to reach agreement on important issues.
Right. Dennis Quinn, I've heard you mention before that you think we could use a pathway in the center of town that would be going across the railroad tracks. Is this something now? Is this something you think is important for just people to get from to one area or another? And have you talked to anyone about this?
Well, I was talking about getting across the railroad tracks from Highway 75 to Floyd Boulevard.
Okay.
Other than Gordon Drive and Outer Drive, there's really no, when the trains got them all blocked, there's no way to get across town.
Right.
And that we probably needed something in the middle of town. And since then, since we first started talking about that, they have, Pete was telling me, they've come up with a, they're trying to get a grant or in the process of getting a grant yes. now to work 18th Street. So it seems to be something that they're working on. But that was one of the things that I really wanted to go after so we didn't have to drive down to Gordon Drive or out to Outer Belt to get across town.
Mm-hmm. Right. Dan Moore, how do you feel now about the vote to put that hotel downtown and the parking ramp? There's been so much discussion about that since it was approved. Do you still feel good about that?
There's been a lot of good discussion, Mary, about that. One thing that is out in front for me are the subsidies and the money we pay to keep the doors open on our facilities. And the convention center, we have that. We've spent a little over $500,000 to subsidize the convention center and the operation. With the state money that's been made available with the Ag Expo Center, that would be coming in, along with some other developments that would be good for downtown Sioux City. I think we're headed in the right direction. I think that a majority of the people that I have spoken with are real concerned about surface parking. The parking issue has been turned up as it should be. We're inconsistent with our parking. We have parking ramps that may be little used or somewhat used. We've got surface parking around the town that we need to take a hard look at. So I think that will tie in. I think we'll see a lot of good development from that. The parking deck that we're looking at is a two-story deck, and it'll be outside surface parking. It'll be raised, but that will be more open than a parking garage or a parking ramp. So I think we'll see some good things come out of that. I think we'll see a boost in our convention center activities with associations and boards wanting to come to Sioux City to have their meetings, because quite frankly, we've been really hurt by that. And we have a partner that's willing to partner in the subsidies of the convention center. Those aren't going to go away immediately. It just takes time. Mm-hmm. And I think given time, we'll see some benefits.
Okay. Doug Waples, what is your feeling now about the new hotel downtown? You still feel the same?
Yeah, I'm not for the hotel being put in the parking lot of the convention center. I think you're going to kill that back entrance to the parking center. And I don't really like the way the ramp is being positioned there. And I think everybody would have had a whole lot better feeling if we'd have known and we should have known that there was a large electrical conduit underneath this alley that makes a lot of the what they were originally planning and the way it was originally laid out ahead of time. I think that should have been known to everybody, the council for sure, and probably all the citizens.
Well, I think I'm going to ask everyone about this hotel issue. Alex, what's your feeling about this?
Yeah. No, I think it's a good topic to discuss. And I'm glad we're chatting about it. I think that it's a decision I still feel good about. I think that for me, it's a lack of education, and we need to talk about all the issues. I think it's misinformation or a lack thereof. And when we talk about it, I think that I hope we can have, like Dan was saying, almost a good dialogue about some of the concerns people have and how we can address them. I would agree with Doug. I wish I would have known about the utilities conduit. I wish that some of those things could have been hashed out ahead of time. But I think it's going to be great growth for downtown. I still think it's a great opportunity. You're looking at Marriott investing, or this organization investing over $20 million private money in a hotel to be right there. You're offsetting your subsidy for the convention center. I forget what the percentage is, somewhere like 60 or 70% of convention use now are like things like weddings. And so having an updated convention ballroom space for that, I think that people want to stay at the venue that they're holding these events at, and what better than a business class hotel right there connected. I think you also have people that are really worried or saying, why didn't you use the Howard Johnson? Or what about the Riviera Theater? Why didn't we use those locations? And quite frankly, we looked at all those options. At least I know I did, and I know the council members did as well. And we talked to them about the Riviera. It wasn't a large enough footprint for a hotel that they were looking to do. The Howard Johnson would have been an effective use of taxpayer dollars, because too much money would have had to go into it to update it to where it was. And so at the end of the day, I think we built what's going to be a business class hotel, offset that subsidy. It's going to be a great boost for the businesses down on that end. What better way to showcase the beautiful architecture, the restaurants, the bars, that whole area, than getting more people to come down there and stay right there walking distance to our bars and our restaurants? I think that you're going to see incredible growth, not only in that area, but the utilization of those reinvestment district dollars going elsewhere too, to programs like the Ag Center or other downtown amenities. I think it's still a great decision. I think that it's one of those things that people are just going to have to see come to fruition, and we're going to have to work out some of the kinks like we're talking about with the parking, because at the end of the day, I think there's a lot of parking downtown. It's just the understanding of where that is and where people can park.
And Jake Jungers, I know you had talked before about rehabbing the Howard Johnsons, thinking that was a good choice.
Yeah, I think it would have been a good choice, but I actually think Mr. Waters nailed it right on the head with everything. And it's some things that take time. So down the road, when you're walking from one end of 4th Street to, say, the Hard Rock and stuff like that, I think it's going to light up the neighborhood, and I think people are going to see it, and business owners and restaurant owners that I've talked to are looking forward to it because it's going to have extra income. And one of the things I'll give Mr. Waters credit for, too, is he, when I wasn't as informed as a citizen, he actually sent me a PowerPoint presentation, and it actually informed me that he looked over it. And I thank him for that, so I was more up to date on that. So I think it's one of those things, you can challenge it, but at the end of the day, you have to do what's best for Sioux City.
Okay. Pete Greckin, I know, when we were all discussing this and when it was before the council for a while, people were particularly concerned about the parking issue and people who would come to the convention center with big trailers and backing in and backing out. How do you feel about how this has been resolved with the parking ramp?
Well, I'm not sure, Mary, it's totally been resolved yet until we see the final design plan, and nothing's been approved with that just yet. But, I have great confidence in the skills of individuals who drive large trucks for a living. If you watch people either at another commercial venue, the one I point to frequently is on Floyd Boulevard, Visvita, they have big semis backing up, big trucks backing up. All that. They can back up. They go forward. They can go northbound and back in, come up from the, go southbound, back in. I think they have the expertise to be able to do that, and I'm curious until we see the final design how it will all come together, but I think the skills of the drivers will make it such that it will be doable. Now, disappointed maybe with what the final design will be from our recent discussion a month or so ago at a council meeting, but let's give it time to develop and see how it all goes. And with respect to the overall project, I think it's important to note that the hotel is part of the Iowa Reinvestment District program. And along with that, not only comes the hotel, Again, that the Kinseth Corporation is investing quite a bit of money on their own. There's Virginia Square, Ho-Chunk Incorporated, mm-hmm. doing a terrific job down there. They've invested a great deal. And hopefully the Ag Expo Center will come about and help. And then now you throw in potentially, well, there has been some state funding awarded to the Warrior-Davison project. I think all of that is just really going to create, my hope would be a giant economic boost to downtown Sioux City. And I personally believe that downtowns, if they want to be successful, have to be vibrant. And I think the more that we can do, they have to have a vibrant downtown. And mm-hmm. the more that we can do to develop downtown, I think the better off the community will be in the long run.
Okay.
And for all of our families and children growing up.
Great. Dennis, what's your opinion about the hotel downtown?
I've always been against the hotel downtown. I think we have enough hotels down there now, and because of the parking situation. And just because the state's putting money into it, I don't think getting into bed with the state anytime they want to do anything is all that good for the people, because the people of Sioux City will be the ones that will be holding the bag if anything happens with this.
Okay. Well, Dan Moore, I know another member of the press who always asks about the back-end parking isn't here, so I'm going to ask you, because Woody isn't here. What about that back-end parking downtown? Have you tried it?
I haven't tried it. Because it's way different than what I'm accustomed to. But that doesn't mean I think we should, as a community, keep an open mind to the parking. And if it works, great. I think the businesses have a lot of say about what the parking is going to be like. And I've told my grandchildren, if you ever want a class in government, especially city government, replay the city council meeting when the Morningside Avenue businesses came.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, came to our meeting, and there had been a plan that had been proposed by city engineering and public works, and that was a great example of businesses coming to a meeting, being very civil, and making their case, and they stated their case so well as against the plan, and the city council members listened to that and agreed with them. And I think the businesses really need to have a big say as far as what the parking is going to be like outside their doors. And that was handled so well. I just think we should use that as an example for students to learn how city government should operate and how it does in Sioux City, Iowa operate. It was outstanding. And I commend the Morningside Avenue businesses for being so professional about it and being organized and having all of their thoughts before us, because I've said time and time again, one of my goals is to make sure all council members are well informed on the decision-making process.
Right.
You can disagree with us on some of our decisions, but I want to make sure we have all of the facts before a decision's made.
Okay.
Because the worst we can do to our community and our citizens is to make an uninformed decision.
Right. Thank you.
So to answer your question, I'm going to stay with the forward in diagonal parking.
Okay.
It
didn't take long.
Well, Doug Waples, what do you think about the parking situation downtown, with having like the free hour of parking in the ramps versus having this sort of street parking thing? How do you think these new ideas are working?
I think the reverse parking deal is a poor idea.
Okay.
I've went by that place twice today. There's nobody parked there, so for whatever that takes. I think the 1 hour free is a great deal to try. And then in 6 months or a year, just review it and see if it's being used.
Okay.
That's...
Makes sense.
Yep.
Well, Alex, I'd like to ask you, I know I've asked you before about the recycling issues of the city. I know this is an issue that has been important to you.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit recently about the glass recycling and how well that's been going. What do you think of that? And also, what other recycling needs do you think the city has that just haven't been addressed?
Yeah, great question. It is something that I'm really passionate about, right? And something that I've actually collaborated with Councilman Moore on. I know it's a passion of his as well. But for me, ultimately, I mean, I think the Glass decision was a difficult one, right? I don't know how I would have felt about it if I was on council and when that was coming forward. I understand that at the end of the day, you need to balance budgets as well, and everything has a cost. What I appreciate is that the people of Sioux City have been utilizing the program. You know, I mean, I forget the
tonnage. Can you explain a little bit about how it works?
Yeah, so you can recycle everything from your pizza boxes to aluminum foil to plastic bottles to all types of those things. And you can actually call, like, Gil Hauling, and they will deliver a free bin that will be picked up at the exact same time as your trash, the same day. It's just a different truck that will pick up your recycling curbside. It's a free bin, right? And they provide that service to you. It's not an additional charge and all of that stuff. And so then they can pick that up. Well, now they can no longer do glass. And so you have to deliver your glass that you're going to recycle to different receptacles. They're huge. They're purple. You've probably seen them at your local grocery store. But I'm told that the Environmental Advisory Committee, that they're really impressed with the tonnage of glass that we're really collecting. And so that gives me hope, right? Because I was really worried that it would wane and recycling would take a hit, which is something that I don't want to see. As far as what we need to do and what I see for the future, I think that the city of Sioux City needs to be, we need to be a leader. We need to be really championing this effort and showing, like, I give Steve a hard time. I look around in this building, I don't see recycling receptacles. You know, it's something where I think that people are having usually a bottle of water in their hand nowadays, and I want to make sure that we're recycling it, that we're taking that extra step and making sure that we're offering it. We just posted a picture in City Hall to have a recycling receptacle, so we have an area for cans and bottles, area for paper, as well as for trash, and that's something that I'm excited about. I think that especially in our city buildings, it's important, but more so than that, for me, are the parks, the trails, all of these different areas, because there is nothing that I hate more than going and seeing these beautiful parks with litter or plastic or bottles or everything just strung all over the trail. I think that the more you have that accessible where people can just toss it in a recycling bin, it's not going on the ground, because we've all talked about how we really believe in these quality of life amenities, how important it is for business, industry, workforce, young professionals. We got to take care of it. We got to maintain it as well. And I think that part of that is having a really unified recycling effort in all these different areas. So not only buildings, but also in our green spaces as well.
All right. Thank you. Jake Jungers, we talk a lot about the new housing being built, basically the market rate housing going into some of these rehabbing of the buildings, the Hatch building, the Beacons building, but there's another one too. Well, then the KCAU building is also being rehabbed, but for the Lamb Theater. Yeah. But there's a lot of market rate housing going in. There's not much affordable housing. How can we get more affordable housing in Sioux City and the surrounding area?
As for the market rate housing downtown, I think it's a really good thing. It's the Beacons building is actually something I'm looking into to possibly move in. As for affordable housing, you know, we had big businesses come in and the prices were raised, and have they really been lowered? I don't think so on houses, but the market right now, we need more homes available where the homes you can buy right now, you can buy them, but you're going to have to put in so much work. So can a middle-class family actually buy those? What we need to do is we need to have maybe a builder and sign a contract with the city. Maybe they can build affordable homes for people and develop maybe on the north side or west side. And, you know, that's what I would do. But have somebody invest with some contractors and get those houses in here.
Mm-hmm. You know, Pete Greck, and I know I've asked you about this before, if there were any sort of grants, any sort of like federal sort of, any federal funds that might be used for affordable housing available that we could use?
Well, I think there's, I don't know, Mary, whether or not there are federal funds available for contractors to build more what we would deem to be reasonable and affordable homes. I do know that there are incentives that are offered to people, developers, to build homes. It seems to me that we should have the capability of building homes that are aesthetically pleasing and have features that would allow for middle-income families to get into a new home, take pride in that new home, and eliminate a lot of the issues we're talking about with litter. And I think if you have pride and you work and realize that this lends itself again to beautification of a community that people really look for. You mentioned the monarch habitat. I think the more they do of that and the more outdoors along with the trails, I think are really good. But I think there are incentive programs available. I think there are some on the state level. I know that the city has a phase two program that is used for people who want to rehab red tag houses. And that program has been successful on a couple of occasions, probably hasn't been used as much as it could be. But there are programs. We just got to find people who are willing to build less and make it more affordable, it seems to me. But.
Okay, all right. Dennis Quinn, are there any specific like infrastructure issues, street issues, building issues, if you were on the council that would be of particular importance to you to work on? A lot of people mention the situation trying to fix Glen Avenue. I hear various parts. People just sort of hearsay about areas of the city that they would like to see, projects they'd like to see fixed, things like that.
Yeah, I think most all our streets in town are a mess, and not just the streets, but the curbs and the sidewalks too. How many times do you fill a pothole before you do something with the street? I worked for the school district. I went down Hawkeye Drive every day. I did it for years, and you go down Hawkeye Drive, and now you most of the cars you don't ride in the lane you're supposed to because you'd have your car in the shop getting it wheel lined every other day. So everybody drives out in the center, and then as they approach each other, you see everybody kind of split and go around. But, I mean, that's just terrible. And driving that school bus part-time, I drive on a lot of streets in this town, and there's just a lot of messed up streets.
Mm. Yeah. Dan Moore, you've served on various city organizations. You've been on the city council now. How can we draw more people in, a diverse group of people in, more women to want to run for city council? Do you think that maybe they just don't run because they haven't been encouraged? Do you think it's just sort of a thing where it's been mostly men over the years? What do you think it is?
I think we have a good outreach program. There's nothing like personal contact, and that's what I do personally for boards and commissions is we have vacancies. Right. We have several vacancies on some of our boards and commissions coming up, and I actually make personal contacts to all people, to give everyone a chance to apply for those. And the other thing that I tell folks that if they're working during the day or they have to work at night, and that particular board or commission that they're interested in is meeting at a time that they cannot make it, we need to change that. We need to talk to the board. We need to talk to the commission. We need to change the meeting time for those boards and commissions and meet the people that want to serve and volunteer. We need to meet them halfway. This community has been successful over the decades. I'm talking decades because of our volunteers. Without our volunteers in Sioux City, Iowa, we wouldn't be doing half of what we're accomplishing today. And they're very dedicated, and they put in the hours. I mean, we have everyone from high school students on the Mayor's Youth Commission. They put in hours and hours and hours of volunteer work to our boards and commissions, the Airport Board, Plan and Zoning, those kind of boards. So I think reaching out and asking people to make an application, tell them that we're interested in having them serve, it goes a long, long way, further than any advertising we could do.
Okay. Doug Waples, what do you think about that? Also, I guess I wanted to ask you, what do you think the council could do to kind of reach out more to people? Do you think that it would help for the council if they tried to have these kind of coffee with the council meetings once a month and it became quarterly? It was kind of hard to get people there. Do you think that the council could reach out into the community more? And if so, how?
I don't know that it's going to make a difference. I think you could change the time of the council meetings, and I don't think you're going to draw the public. There doesn't seem to be a lot of interest in it. I went to a lot of council meetings the last 4 years. I'm usually the only citizen that stays till the end. and sometimes I've been the only citizen there throughout the whole deal. It's really discouraging when you got, what, 44,000 registered voters and there's no more interest. Now, and maybe a lot of it's watched on TV. I don't know what the numbers are there, and maybe there's no way to track it. But I personally don't think there's any reason to change the times. I've not been to the coffee with the council, but I know it started out as a yearly deal, and I've heard Pete say that there just haven't been that many people there, you know. I just don't think the interest is there.
Alex Waters, I mean, you know, we were talking about diversity on the council. It seems almost diverse to me to have two younger people up here running, and you're running for the first time. And so how do you think we could make it more appealing or more, you know, interesting to younger people to become part of the city and its councils and its boards?
I don't know. I guess to echo Doug's concerns, I think it's challenging. I think it's in some ways an uphill battle. However, I will say it is promising that I see more and more young people becoming engaged. At least I see that on the college campus. More and more young people care about what's happening in their community or what's happening on their campus. And you see them taking initiatives or stepping up to the plate and doing things. That's encouraging. I guess I've served on a lot of boards and nonprofits in this community, so I know there are a lot of people that are doing things, especially with Sioux City Growth Organization. I think there you see a lot of young people, young professionals that care and step up in multiple ways, whether it's putting on events or fundraisers or all different kinds of things for a lot of different reasons. You see those people stepping up to the plate. It's about integrating them in different capacities. I think Dan's done a great job. He's actually come and spoke about the boards and commissions before and pushed more young professionals to get on that. I think that's where I joined the EFAB. I was on that advisory board as well before being on city council. And I think it's sometimes that integration into, okay, not only can you make a difference in something that maybe you're passionate about, like a nonprofit, but you can really step up and make a big difference at a city level. I mean, that's kind of what led me to take that leap, right? And so I think that making that connection for people is really important, but it's something that's troubling to me. I mean, sitting up here and Mary, you being the only woman is pretty troublesome to me, right? Like, I think we need to have more diversity, not only representing us, but running. And I think to Dan's point, it's about encouraging them. It's that personal connection, because I think with a diverse set of viewpoints and input, I think that just makes us stronger. And that's something that I hope we can continue to push in the future.
Okay. And now for all of you, if you wanted to ask a question or bring up an issue that you hadn't been asked about, I guess I'll start with Jake. Is there someone you'd like to ask a question to or bring up a particular issue?
Sure. Mr. Quinn, at the last forum you brought up, what would I do with homeless people in Sioux City? I would like to know what your plans are for that as well.
Well, pretty much the same thing you said. We have some vacant buildings and stuff downtown in the area down here that we could work with and maybe fix up to move these people in there. But they've got the gospel mission and stuff that do it too. The question was brought up because I was asked by a couple of people that have businesses downtown that they were talking about that the homeless are kind of an eyesore walking around with their bags full of cans and stuff like that. And what would you do about it? And I thought the same thing, and kind of like what you had answered on the question that, you know, maybe there's something the city can do to, you know, build something, a place for them, and get them out of, you know, get them some shelter or something. But that's about all. I don't know what else you would do with it. But they have places like the Gospel Mission.
And the warming shelter, right. Warming center.
Right.
Right.
So.
Right. All right. Well, Pete Greckin.
I don't have any question that I really want to ask anybody, but if I can make some observations.
Sure.
Just to share probably more than anything else, your last discussion about the boards, committees, commissions, and what we could do, I think the personal touch is a great way to go about things. But I also think the city can do some things maybe. And one of them that I've often thought about is along the lines of a job fair. But the focus of the fair will be to become involved in city government, and you do that by, I think there's probably somewhere between 30 and 40 boards, commissions, committees, so there's plenty of opportunities, But don't sell short the fact that people aren't doing it, because I would guess there are multiples, hundreds of people who are involved in committees. So I think a job fair would be something good for human resources to start looking to get involved in, to draw people in, much the same that we do for employees. I wanted to mention the homeless. That was an issue that we talked about at the last League of Women Voters forum too. And just for informational purposes, and I know I've attended meetings over the last, I think we've been doing it for a little over 2 years now, Siouxland Street Project is an effort by a lot of companies or governmental agencies that are involved in providing services to the homeless and transient people. They've been meeting for 2 years. I think the biggest issue right now, and one that they were working on and trying to see how it will develop in another state, is a super shelter. The super shelter would be a 24/7 shelter. It would provide it would provide opportunities for the homeless and the transient to have that shelter.
Okay.
And to be able to, if there are any health issues that are related, any addictions, to address those issues. It would help them with social skills. It would help them with workforce development.
Right.
And I think that's the kind of structure they're taking a close look at now.
Okay, Pete, I got to wrap you up here because we got a couple minutes.
Oh, well.
I got to get going.
Mary.
I know, it's terrible.
One last admonishment. I'll be quiet.
All right. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start from Alex up, and I want each of you to just like 30, 40 seconds say who you are, why you're running, and why people should get out and vote.
Okay. Again, Alex Waters, running for my first term of city council. I really would appreciate your vote November 7th, this coming Tuesday, because I believe in public service. I've dedicated my life to this community to try to make it better. I've seen what other communities are doing, and I think we have a lot to be proud of and a lot of momentum, and I hope to be a part of it going forward. So please cast your vote for me this coming Tuesday.
All right. Doug Waples.
My name's Doug Waples. I'm a resident of Sioux City for 45 years. I've been involved the last 4 years of either watching or going to all the council meetings, and I feel I'm qualified to help.
All right, thank you, Doug. Dan Moore,
I would appreciate your vote November 7. I think I've demonstrated and have a proven record of experience and showing leadership skills. This is a great time. These are great times in Sioux City. And I'm very proud of our citizens. They always rise to the occasion of whatever challenge we may be facing.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Dennis Quinn.
I have a lot of experience working with the public. I'm a good problem solver. I have a lot of common sense, and I would ask for your vote.
All right. Thank you. Pete Gricken.
I have experience. I'm honest. I'm dependable. I'm a good listener. I enjoy talking with people. I really think that my experience in city government will help make a big difference, and I look forward to the opportunity to continue. So, and I appreciate all of the forums that we've had and the company I've met, and it's been a
good thing.
Month and a half.
And Jake Jungers.
Jake Jungers, I'm 28. Once again, I want to encourage people to get involved, part of the youth movement in politics. For those that complain at home, you need to get involved. You need to cast your vote on the 7th. I say you need to participate in city government. You can't just be an armchair quarterback, so I hope to earn your vote.
Exactly. I'm Mary Hartnett. You've been listening to The Exchange on Siouxland Public Media. The election is next Tuesday, November 7th. I hope it's not the situation last time I voted where I was the only person in there after work casting a vote for the primary. And so I urge you to go out and vote. Thanks so much to the League of Women Voters and all our candidates. The Sioux City Public Museum, thank you so much for letting us have this event here. We really appreciate it. We will see you next week.